Now, just before I start, I want to tell you about something. It's been in our email and in the bulletin. It's a reference to an individual named Sam Alberry. Sam Alberry is a pastor and a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. He works with Ravi Zacharias Ministries, and he is same gender attracted and has worked through that issue of his sexuality and his identification to become a follower, an obedient follower of Jesus Christ. And he has a grasp of love and truth when it comes to the issues of sexuality that our culture is struggling with and that we struggle with. He has an understanding of Scripture that is powerful and so life-giving. And we had him as pastors for Feb Central Conference. We belong to a group of churches called Feb, Fellowship of Evangelical Baptist Churches in Canada. And our central region we belong to, obviously Ontario, we had him come and speak to us. And it was the most life-giving words that I have heard on this topic. He is phenomenal. He has been anointed by God to speak the truth of the Word of God. He is a Jesus in his day, and he has a grasp of the truth and the love. So if you struggle with this area of sexuality in your life, or this is a struggle in your family, or you're in a culture, which you are, in which you're struggling to understand how to understand God's will and God's word and God's ways and how to be a person of love and truth together, I'm telling you, this you want to be a part of. It's at Morningside Church. I think it's May 25th. You can get all the information on the website, or you can get the information from the welcome desk. You can go there and we'll direct you in the right spot. I'm just telling you this, that this is one of those things that will prepare you for your life and for our culture, and it's well worth the investment of time. I've been with, well, I sat under and listened to him. He's phenomenal. And I just want to encourage you, as you face different issues in your life, that there is hope and help from the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, and through the people of God. And that I want you to be aware of. There's another thing I want you to be aware of. We begin these Solomon sessions is evil. Usually evil is not readily apparent. It takes time to see it. In a galaxy far away and a long time ago, we had a couple come to our church. It wasn't this church. They were a phenomenal couple. They were fit in early, had been followers of Christ, or so they said, for years. Gracious, kind, got him, rolled their sleeves up, got involved, were serving. He personally flattered and encouraged me and helped and me in several different personal things that we were dealing with, and soon became a leader in our church. Now, had I paid attention to the fact that he was the center of two churches splitting previous to coming to our church, and were I wiser, I would have paid attention to that fact. But I just made the judgment based upon what I saw on the surface. And this couple served for a little while, very faithfully, happily, joyfully. But as life is wont to bring, conflict comes, and conflict came, and he was in the middle of it. In fact, he caused a lot of it. We tried to work through it. There was an unteachable spirit, an unwillingness to admit or confess or concede or compromise, a demanding spirit. Soon the elders needed to get involved. And the elders, after working through the process and working with this individual, realized that he was a quarrelsome, unteachable person. And that was the source of the problems that were surrounding this ministry. Since he was unwilling to change, then the elders said, you're going to need to step out of leadership of this ministry, and moved him out. That triggered in him a desire to get back at and discredit the elders. And so after our business meetings, and we had four a year at least, after the business meetings, He would go around, visit people's homes, uninvited, but would show up and just to say hi, and or go for coffee with people, invite them to go for coffee, and then he would dismantle and discredit all the information and decisions that the elders made, telling them that we really couldn't be trusted, that we weren't telling them the whole story. There was more to it. Now, we as elders weren't perfect, so there was some ammunition in his gun, but we certainly weren't dishonest. But that was what was going around. Of course, we had no idea that this was happening. And I just want to say as a teaching opportunity here, that when somebody comes to you to complain about somebody else, biblically your response is, please don't tell me. Go talk to the person that you have trouble with. But nobody did that. They just absorbed what was being told. Of course, that caused a lot of doubt, a lot of concern, and divisiveness. When it came to light, the elders dealt with this individual and revealed, showed him that what he was doing was divisive, that that's dishonoring to God, it's destructive to the body. If you go to Galatians 5, there's four times that Paul says this is the work of the flesh and needs to be dealt with. He would not repent, would not change, would not admit, would not confess. And so the elders were forced to discipline him and eventually remove him from the church. Of course, when he left, there were a few people that went with him, but nothing compared to the people that left because of the divisiveness and the dishonesty that he had been sowing in the body, unbeknownst to us. So that's what Solomon calls evil. Proverbs chapter 2, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon talks about three different kinds of people. And in Proverbs chapter 2, well, actually littered all through the 31 chapters of Proverbs, there's these statements about different kinds of people, one of which is an evil person. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12 to 15 says, "Wisdom," says Solomon, "wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men." That word wicked is the kind of the term we would use, malignant. From wisdom will save you from the ways of broken, diseased, destructive men or women. From men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways. Perverse words are words that are untrue, deceptive. Walking in dark ways, secret ways, where nobody knows what's going on. Who delight in doing wrong. They get a joy out of the wrongness of their behavior and the hurt that it brings. They rejoice in the perverseness of evil. Whose paths are crooked, meaning they're dishonest. You can't trust their words. And who are devious, deceptive, lying in their ways. So when I talk about evil, when I mention it to you, evil, most of you probably think of the extreme. You go to the extreme. You think of a Hitler or a Stalin or a Bundy. For some of you, you may not be familiar with that name. In the 80s, he confessed to killing at least 30 women. And so when we think of evil, that's the picture we have in our mind. But that is not the picture that Solomon gives us of what is evil. Solomon says evil is people who use deceptive words, are devious, people who are secret, have secret parts in their life that are sinful and nobody knows about or few know about. Evil is when we delight in a pleasure that comes from wrong behavior or that we seek to undermine other people. Thinking about Solomon's view of evil compared to what I kind of almost default to is that picture of the extreme, you know, the Hitler-esque type of person, and because that's the way I default to when I think of the word evil, nobody's evil other than a very few, but Solomon's view of evil is very different than that, and I got to thinking, well, if that's what evil is, what Solomon described it as, then what does it look like in our lives? Evil is a hockey parent that talks big to you about your child, but then cuts your child down in front of the coach so his or her kid can get on the team. Evil is a pastor who preaches from the word, but uses it to manipulate people and control them to do what he wants. Evil is a spouse that is present and engaged in a marriage and at home, but is having an affair secretly behind the scenes. Evil is a friend who shares information about somebody else, gossiping about them, whether true or false. Evil is a financial planner that says you need to be in this particular fund because it's best for you, when in truth, it gives the most return for them. Evil is a politician that makes promises without any intention of ever keeping them. Evil is a leader in ministry that praises the elders and their decisions in front of the people, but then undercuts them when they're alone. Last week, Zach introduced to you this whole idea of our Solomon sessions, that there are three kinds of people that Solomon talks about. Basically, three, you can boil what he says down to three kinds of people: the wise, the evil, and the foolish. And that we as people are on trajectories of one of those. And by that I mean the decisions that we make for the things that we do in our lives put us on one of those pathways. And the more we choose to be wise, the more wise we become. The more we choose to do evil, the more evil we become. And the more we choose foolishness, the more foolish we become. This is about how we are, but it's also about how do we relate and deal with the wise, the evil, and the foolish. Now, it's easy on this one to think, yeah, well, I'm going to be careful around evil people. But by the description that we're going to encounter, we already did in Proverbs 2 and some other verses we're going to look at. When I look at those verses, I realize that there are evil people, or let me say it this way, we are people who do evil all around us. And the most evil, perhaps, sometimes is the person we look at in the mirror in the morning. That there is within our heart an inclination toward evil. And the more that we choose it, the more we become it. Now, the thing about evil that we are probably most surprised at is not recognizable. Like when we watch movies and stuff like that, you immediately know who the villain is. It's obvious by their actions. But in our lives, as we're dealing with people in our day-to-day lives, typically, evil is not easily recognized at first. I didn't recognize the evil in that person that came and cause such division in our church at first. In fact, if we go to our next verse in Proverbs, now listen to these words. They're metaphorical, so they have word pictures all through them, but they're talking about the inability to recognize evil right away. Like a coating of silver dross on earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. They make it appear valuable, but that's not the truth of what's inside. Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. People will tell you what you need to hear, but some, in their hearts, are out to hurt and harm you. Though their speech is charming, don't believe them. For seven abominations fill their heart. That sounds rather strong, doesn't it? Their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be expressed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. This is God's words now. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. In other words, when you practice evil, there will be a result to it, and it will come back on you. But remember this, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. It's not easily recognizable, the heart of a person, because evil resides in our hearts. And the more that you give way to evil in your life, the more that you choose evil, whether secretly or known, the more you choose it, the more like that you become. But most people who are doing evil don't want people to know it readily, so they hide it with their words and with actions. But there's a flaw in that plan. And Solomon brings it out in the next. There is a way to recognize evil when it's around us or in us. As I want you to hear this, I'm not talking about them out there as much as I'm talking about us in here. And the struggle and battle that I and you have with evil. So how do we recognize it? Listen, this is words of wisdom from Solomon. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. With their mouths, the godless destroy neighbors. Next verse. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. Deceit is in the heart of those who plot evil. Next verse. The heart of the righteous weighs its answer, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Did you get the clue in there? Solomon says, you may not recognize evil right away, but if you want to look for it, here's where to look for it. Look in the words of what people say. Because look at how people talk about other people. Look at what people do to other people. And look at what people talk about that they do. We will talk. Here's the fatal flaw when it comes to evil. It can't help but talk about itself. And so when we are, this is why a person who is gossips, has a struggle with gossip, gossips to people, but they don't realize the person that they're telling is sitting there going, this person is gossiping. I wonder what they're saying about me. It's like a blinder is on. Or the person that is undercutting their boss or undercutting their employee or cheating on their spouse will talk about it to other people. They won't to that person because they're trying to keep it quiet, but they'll talk about it to other people. And that's when we ought to be saying to ourselves, this is evil. This person is telling me they're not trustworthy. And when a person talks about the secret things that are involved in their life and engaging you to see if you want to come into it, Solomon says they are telling you that they are not dependable, reliable, that they are engaged in evil and pursuing that trajectory. Listen to the words of people. Listen to your own self and what you speak about. Because the fatal flaw of evil is that it gushes out what is in the heart. In places where it thinks it's safe, it will talk about evil. It will talk about how it speaks about others, how it's treating others, and what it's engaged in the secret places. Listen. Listen, and you will know if a heart is bound in evil. Now that's my fatal flaw, is I don't listen. I'm paid to talk. I like to talk. And some of you are like me. In grade 6, Robbie moved to our school, and Robbie and I became close friends. Now, Robbie, I love being around Robbie. Now, in grade 6, okay? I love being around Robbie because everything seemed to happen around him. Like, he was always on the edge. He was always causing trouble in class, which appealed to me. He was always had some sort of plan or scheme going on. He was funny. He was a strong leader. He could fight like crazy. Nobody could beat him up. And he was always doing something new that was exciting. Now, the more I hung around with Robbie, the more I realized how he controlled and manipulated people. He would steal, we'd go into gym, and he'd go in late, steal the money out of somebody's pocket, and then he would, not only would he steal it, but he wouldn't leave, he would go to the person and say, I saw so-and-so take the money. Well, of course, they can't prove that, and that person denied it because they didn't do it, but it always cast aspersions on that other person, and he always got off scot-free. He would tell his friends, you know what? I think you could beat so-and-so. Ed, I think you could beat Mike up. And then he would go to Mike and say, Mike, I think you could beat Ed up. And he would, just for the joy of watching us fight. And so he would be the center, the safe one, where we felt supported and encouraged by him. This is grade six. He would talk about other people. In conversation, just slip. Well, I heard. Well, I know. And he caused division among people, manipulating them through his lies. Now, I always thought, well, because I was his friend, I'd be safe. I mean, he might do that to other people, but he wouldn't do it to me. In grade nine, he convinced me, Roger, and him. Some guy was, in grade nine, hitting on his girlfriend. I don't know if it was ever true, but the plan was we were going to get him in the locker room and kind of rough him up and scare him. Kind of got a little bit out of hand because, do you know what nunchucks are? You know, the two pieces of wood with the chain on them. Out they came from Robbie's, under his belt and under his jacket, and we got the guy against the locker. He put the thing around his neck and started to choke him and hit him, and three of us, one guy. Finally, I'm like, Robbie, I think he's got the point. I think we should probably back off. He's got the point, and we finally did. The thing we didn't count on was this guy had an older brother who was tough as nails and had friends. And guess who was on our trail? Well, let me rephrase that. Well, guess who was on my trail? I remember being in a mall and seeing this guy's brother with his friends, and he was, I could tell by the look on his face, he was coming after me. I got out of there quick. They were much older than me, and there was no way I stood a chance of anything. So I got out of there and somehow made it home, ran through backyards, ran at the top of my, I couldn't drive, but he could. His friends had cars. They were chasing me down. I was going through backyards. I finally ran into my driveway just as he pulled up. I ran in the house. My dad happened to be outside working. They were coming into the house to get me, and he stopped them. And they, for some reason, listened to him. But the last words were, just let them know we're going to kill him. I got thinking about that, and I thought, well, hold on a second. I was just kind of one of the bystanders there. It was really Robbie that had done all the roughing up and the hitting and the choking. And I realized that he had told them that it was my idea, and I was the one that had done it. It was then that friendship ended. It took me a while. I just about got my head bashed in seriously. It was evil and deceptive. And when you give yourself to those kind of behaviors, they just multiply in your life. See, the Word of God says that we need to be wise and listen to what's coming out of people's mouths and determine, is this the type of person I want influencing me? Because make no mistake, when you allow people into your life, they will influence you, especially if you accept what they say. And so listen to what they say, because the evil, if there's evil in the heart, it will gush out, it will come out, and how they talk about others when they're not around, and what they say they're doing to others. They'll often glory all the fact that they're undercutting their boss or stealing from their company or that they're cheating on somebody's girlfriend or somebody's husband or somebody's wife. Or if they're trying to invite you into their evil, they'll talk about the secret things they do, secret places they go, or the sites that they visit. The psalmist says, be aware. You can recognize it. Now, I need to hasten to say here that when we're studying this, the Proverbs, there are three types of people, and it's the decisions that we make that put us on the trajectory. There's none of us that are completely wise, and there's none that I know of here that is completely evil. We're somewhere in between. It's the decisions that we make that will lead us on one of those trajectories. The other one is foolishness. I'll talk about that tomorrow or next Sunday. And when we make a wise decision, we start to walk in the path of wisdom. And when we make an evil decision, we start to walk in the path of evil. And when we act foolishly, we walk in the path of foolishness. And it's cumulative. As we make more and more of these decisions, the ones that we make put us on that path further and further. So if you tend to speak and talk about and lie about other people, then you're known as a what? A gossip. And so you become recognized and identified as a gossip. That's who you are becoming. If you manipulate people to control them and get them to do what you want and put them in positions where they have to fight to do what they want and you're always seem to be working the crowd and working the people at work to get your ways, you become your manipulator and you become known as a manipulator and that's your identity and you're on the path of manipulation. If you're involved in the secret things in your life that nobody knows about or only those that agree with you and those things become where you put your energy, the more that you do that, you become identified as that type of person and you become that type of person. And Solomon says, when you see the manipulation, when you see the deception, when you see the secret things, know you're dealing with an evil person. You're dealing with evil. Now, what happens when you do evil? Because I already said, hey, don't we struggle with evil? Of course we do. But when you become known as a person that can receive correction when you have done evil, when you become known as a person that will repent and bring to light the evil that you do and the decisions that you make, you become known as a wise person. God can actually use the evil that you do to turn you toward what is wise, but it takes humility, a willingness to admit, a willingness to confess, and a willingness to repent. But then that type of person, a confessor, one who repents, is called a wise person in Scripture. And so you have the choice each day of which kind of person you are becoming. A wise person? An evil person? Or a foolish person? You choose. You choose. And over time, you become what you choose. Now, how do you deal with an evil person? What if it's your boss? I mean, it's tough to get away from a boss. What if it's your child? I was on the path with Robbie to becoming evil. I was choosing all the stuff we were doing. I was setting my trajectory. What if it's your parent or your spouse? What if you hear the deception, the manipulation, the lies, the attacks, the secret? What if that's part of a relationship that's close? What do you do then? Proverbs. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your way. You do what you're already doing. You do what you're already doing. Just because somebody around you is doing evil doesn't mean you have to agree with it. Doesn't mean you have to sit there and listen to it. Doesn't mean you have to give toward it, advance a person who is doing it. Doesn't mean you have to remain quiet. Doesn't mean you have to just put up with it. Solomon says, don't step on the path, avoid it, walk away. Sometimes walking away may be with your words. This is not right. You need to go talk to the person that you're talking to. Awkward, eh? That's wisdom. Sometimes it's just getting up, pushing back from the table, and walking away physically. Sometimes it may mean speaking to the person saying, this is wrong, you need to leave it. Now let me just talk about this for a second, my understanding of Proverbs. A person who is unsettled in their trajectory, meaning we all have wisdom, foolishness, and evil in us. It's which one we tend to choose and emphasize that will determine the person we become. So a person who is struggling with their evil or foolishness, if you correct them, if they're wise, they'll listen to you. But somebody who is on the trajectory of evil and who doesn't want to hear will not listen to you. In fact, they'll push back or attack you if you correct them. And so part of it is your own wisdom of knowing when should I speak. And of course, the closer you are in a relationship with somebody, the wiser you must be when you choose to speak. But that's how you deal with an evil person. You do not go in their path. You do not join them. You do not support them in what they're doing. You do not encourage them. You don't laugh at their jokes. You avoid it. You walk away. You know, in your lunchroom or at Tim Hortons or whatever, when you're with your group, what would it say if when evil was being talked about, you just got up and walked away? Well, I couldn't do that. I mean, imagine how I make the people feel. You know, we're influenced but why we allow in our lives and in the lives of our children. Maybe it's time for you to walk away from some of the influences that are in your life. To get up and walk away. To not laugh. To not speak into it. To not support it. To not give to it. Maybe it's time for you to be wise. So, going from here. What should we do about this? Well, number one, I think we need to recognize that we all have a proclivity for evil within us. We're all broken. We all struggle with sin. And some of it is appealing to us. Some of us struggle with speaking about others. Some of us want the secret things because they give a certain amount of pleasure. Some of us would naturally seem to manipulate people. Just seems to be something that we're good at, and we're good at our words. And so I would say, what is it? What applies to you? Ask the Spirit of God to say, Spirit of God, is there evil in my life you want to deal with? Now, if you have the courage to pray that, before you go out and pray that, just let me understand that. Let me tell you this. God generally deals with us in two different ways. One is through His Word. He speaks to us through His Word. When we open His Word, that's why we talk about having time with God each day. When you read it and you think, God, is there anything in here for me? God speaks through His Word to us. That's one way He'll speak to you. But the other way He speaks is when other people, He prompts other people to point out to us an area of our lives that needs to change. And that is not always a pleasant experience, is it? In fact, we tend to get defensive. We fight. We attack. We defend. We justify. And so if you're going to pray, I say, God, reveal to me if there's any evil in my life. Be prepared for God to either speak through His Word and or to have somebody point something out to you. And in those moments, just listen. The wise listen. They may not be fully true in what they say. But if there's truth in it, God is speaking to you. And you won't know the truth unless you listen. Listen. So if you have the courage to pray that prayer, then be prepared to listen either to God through His Word or to somebody He brings into your path. The second thing is if you are, now if I've been talking, you go, oh no, I have that person in my life. then do what Solomon said. Push back from the table. Walk away from the conversations. Don't engage in the activities. Don't encourage the activities. Don't laugh. Remove the influence of evil from your life. Because Solomon says, we become like those that are closest to us. Now I want to pray over you just as we end this sermon. If you bow your head, please. So this is one of those sermons that is harder to take. It's going to require you to think, because the wisdom from Proverbs requires thoughtful contemplation. In other words, it requires you to go, I need to think about this. Is this true of me? It's easy if I was talking, or Zach was talking about wise people. It's easy to be a wise person, or to at least accept that term of your life. It's hard to be a wise person. I should be careful what I say. But if you're a wise person, that's easy to accept that evaluation. It's harder to accept that I have evil in me, or that somebody I'm around is evil and I need to break the influence that they're having. It becomes doubly more difficult if you're living in the same home as them, if you're married to them, or you work for them. And that requires the wisdom that only the Spirit of God can give, and that other godly people have. If God is speaking to you today, what are you going to do? What is He prompting you to do right now? And whose help do you need to do it? So Jesus, your word clearly teaches us that there are wise people, there are evil people, and there are foolish people. We long, God, my prayer is that we would become people on the trajectory of wisdom, that we would be pursuing wisdom. We'd be humble in our spirit, teachable. And that we would be courageous when it comes to evil. We would not simply passively allow it to wash over us, but we would take the step to avoid the influence of evil in our lives. That we would hear and listen to what is being said around us and recognize the evil and avoid it and not join that path. That God, we would be people that are not self-righteous, but truly righteous, people that are truly seeking to please you first above anyone else. And so God, I pray for that truth and that spirit to settle upon us today. In your name I pray. Amen.